may be found at kbu.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascade. Today is Wednesday, December 11th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We have a lot to talk about today. Frances Heathering, the Conservation Director of Cascadia Wildlands, is back today to talk about the aftermath of the decision in Salem yesterday regarding the clear cutting of the Elliott State Forest. And Kishama Savant is joining us this morning also. She, of course, is the socialist candidate who won a seat on the Seattle City Council. But her views, her voice, is reverberating across the country. She has ignited a conversation which we have long, long needed to have in this country about what constitutes a living wage, what a minimum wage should be, what people who are creating the wealth of this nation are being paid themselves to create that wealth, as the gap between the very, very rich and the rest of us, the very rich and the poor, ever widens. The wealth is flowing straight to the top. We'll be speaking with her in just a moment. There's a lot of headlines. While the U.S. now celebrates and praises Nelson Mandela as the father of South Africa, in the past, of course, we know Mandela was regarded as a dangerous revolutionary. And apparently it was originally his arrest was facilitated by the CIA, who apparently tipped off authorities in August of 1962. So it was, in fact, the CIA which caused Mandela to spend all those years on Robben Island. And this week, despite articulate arguments, yesterday, in fact, against this action, Governor John Kitzhaber, Secretary of State Kate Brown, and Treasurer Ted Wheeler failed to protect critical forest lands of the Elliott State Forest. Further afield, the European Parliament is lining up Edward Snowden to give evidence by video link this month, in spite of resistance by British Conservatives, of course. And the new plan to crush food stamp programs is to eliminate a loophole that allows states to pay higher food stamps by tapping into a program designed for helping with winter heating bills. Yes, watch it now, between now and throughout the holidays. All manner of legislation is going to get pounded through, which if we were paying attention and there were a little bit more oversight, we might question the rationale for. Also, it's a time to keep a close eye on the Supreme Court. Next question, what's worse than ALEC? Of course, the American Legislative Exchange Council. Well, I'll tell you what. The State Policy Network, the SPN, is planning a significant assault on the rights of working families in 2014 state legislative sessions across the country. SPN plans to offer sizable grants to supposedly independent, nonpartisan think tanks in the states. These are actually right, very, very hard right think tanks, which have enormous influence on legislators. And the secrets behind Israel's strategic alliance with apartheid Africa. We talk about the apartheid situation that Palestinians are suffering under. Well, is it any accident that Israel and South Africa have always been hand in hand developing advanced weapons systems? Further, and more up to date, Bibi RSVPs after cancelling. This is Netanyahu cancelling on Mandela's funeral. Netanyahu sends regrets to inform the U.S. to let people know that, listen, a few days after deciding not to travel to Pretoria, his reason for making that decision was it cost too much, so he didn't go to Mandela's funeral. That's right. Weather, it's freezing. We'll leave it at that and speak instead with Kshama Savant. Good morning, Kshama, and thank you very, very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, every time you're able to find just a few moments to talk with us, we're very, very grateful to you. It goes without saying that this has been a topic that is of great, great urgency, that the fact that people who do the work, who earn the wealth in this country, are not paid in any way, shape, or form for doing so. People work two or sometimes even three jobs. They never see their children. They have to choose between paying rent or medical care. And they're still getting nowhere. Real wages have stagnated or slipped back. You started this dialogue. Can you talk a little bit more about what you have ignited there up in Washington and how you see it reverberating across the country?
Yeah, I think, as you said, this is absolutely a conversation that has needed to happen for a very long time. And in fact, I would recall a conversation I had last night. There's a lot of activists here who are doing a lot of work preparing for the Martin Luther King Day celebrations coming up on January 20th. And it was interesting to see that among the people present there was this young woman who said that, she was talking about how she's going to need to step back a little bit because she has a father who's ailing. And she is juggling four jobs. And it was quite astounding. But unfortunately, the reality is that this is far from a rare case. There are a whole layer of people, not just young people, but older people, people who have been stuck in dead-end jobs for decades, juggling two or three jobs, barely being able to make ends meet. And this is such an urgent thing we need to do. It is not just about having this conversation is the first step, just like Occupy did, end the silence on this grotesque inequality, but go even further, build a real movement, a strong movement that can win victories. And I think this is possible. We're seeing this momentum having come from our grassroots campaign and from the victory in the SeaTac $15 an hour initiative. And I think all eyes should be in Seattle. I would ask people, if you can come from Portland to help us build this movement, that would be fantastic. We need to make this happen.
Exactly. The fact that you have got this started is remarkable. I won't take any more of your time right now, but this is what needs to be talked about. And the more that it is enters the arena of public discussion, the more likely that it will happen. You've also showed people how to do it, how to get elected as a socialist and really change this country around. The direction we are going is nuts, is straight over the cliff. And dragging people along, kicking and screaming. Kshama Savant, thank you so very much for being with us. We want to invite you back to speak with us at greater length at some other time in the very near future. But thank you so much for this today.
Thank you, and I'm happy to be back again.
Thank you so much. We're going to go now to Frances Hetherington, who's back today. She was with us yesterday, joined us from the rally in Salem, where as director, conservation director with Cascadia Wildlands, she presented clear and articulate words regarding the Elliott State Forest. And of course, as it so often happens, activists go down there. They have all their facts before them. They present facts in a clear and accessible manner, and it would appear that the fix is already in. Good morning, Frances. Thanks for being back with us.
Good morning. Thanks for talking with me again.
Well, what could possibly, given the facts that you presented, what could possibly, well, we know money, of course, but how could this have happened? I'm in shock.
The testimony yesterday was very heartwarming. There were people from all over the state, from all walks of life, that asked the governor not to do this, that it just didn't make sense. There was people there that lived next to the parcels that were being sold that talked about how this land was in their bones. They grew up here. And these lands actually belong to all Oregonians. Unfortunately, it appeared as though the governor and the land board had their mind made up. Nothing anybody could have said seemed to be able to change their mind that they had to sell parts of the Elliott. You know, I mean, they clearly stated they can no longer clear cut it. And so what is implied by that is if they can't clear cut it, they'll find someone who can. You know, the fact that this land harbors the best coho production streams in the whole Coast Range, that it actually can sequester more carbon per acre than any other place in the world, that it also has all those endangered species like spotted owls and marbled mullets. It's the very first forest that the marbled mullet encounters as it comes in from the sea looking for a nesting site. I mean, this is just such critically important lands. And the governor's own, what they call the real estate asset management plan is how they deal with real estate that the state land board owns. It clearly says that areas that are high value wildlife and plant areas should be transferred to the state park system to manage as a natural area. And instead, the governor and the secretary and the treasurer decide to sell it. What the governor said to us in particular at the end of the meeting, he said, it's not that I want to privatize the Elliott, but how are we going to know what the worth of the Elliott is, what the value of the Elliott is, if we don't put it up to competitive bid? And it seemed to be that was his only excuse for selling it. They needed to know the worth of the Elliott by having it competitive bid. My comment to the governor before that was, you know, it's good to sell this land to a conservation organization whose mission is to protect it or to transfer it to the state parks department. But it's not good to sell it to the timber industry, because it has to be sold at a cut rate price. You know, the price dropped from $22 million to $3 million. The value of the timber dropped $19 million because of it can't be logged because of the presence of endangered species. So why would you sell it to the timber industry? Yet, if it's put up for competitive bid, the timber industry is going to be able to outbid any conservation group. Instead, we urge the governor to just do a negotiated sale price on the appraised value with an organization that will protect it. They refused. They know in their own report that they commissioned beforehand that the timber industry has said they can skirt the law and log this illegally, even though it has mullets on it. They're going to get it at a cut rate price, competitive bidding, and clear cut it, and then we're out. We're out our land. We're out our conservation values. We're out of all these resources that belong to the citizens of Oregon.
There's absolutely no value to this at all, except, again, for perhaps a very tiny handful of people that the 1%ers, as always. The governor said some other doozies, I believe, in the course of the hearing, and it's I had a hard time reading the report. We're out, fresh out of time. Frances, can you leave our listeners with something, at least what the next steps would be and how to inform ourselves?
We have a letter that you can send to the governor on our webpage at caskwild.org, www.caskwild.org. You can let him know that if he wants to know the worth of the land, how much worth does he put on clean water, clean air, and our wildlife? You know, how much is value is that? That value is not being considered, and it's only economic value that he's considering, and we think it should be broader than that.
Frances, thank you so much. My guest, Frances Hevington, is a conservation director with Cascadia Wildlands. Thank you very much for joining us today. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, December 11th, 2013. Tammy Dean engineered the show today. Thanks a lot, Tammy. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO-AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, we report live from the streets of Santa Rosa, California, where activists continue to call for justice for what they call the murder of Andy Lopez. And later we'll feature excerpts of the documentary film Mandela, Son of Africa, Father of a Nation. My name is Mike Biggs. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Coming up a little bit later, we'll play excerpts of a documentary film, Mandela, Son of Africa, Father of a Nation.